The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're broadcasting from my place this week, and just like millions of people, we're working from home. And we're the lucky ones. Closures and quarantines have absolutely swept the nation last week. Schools, restaurants, small businesses, you name it. Many are already out of work, and many more are worried about being out of work soon. And in so many industries, people are working at jobs where they don't necessarily feel safe. Hospitals across the world are already beginning to come under tremendous strain as the number of cases goes up and up. And although the United States is behind China and Italy, in some places we're beginning to feel the strain already. Dr. Arya Nashat is an ER doctor in Portland, Oregon, preparing for the flood of COVID-19 patients they've been seeing in neighboring Washington. Dr. Nashat, hello, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for calling.
Well, we're reaching you early in the morning on the West Coast. What's it like to be working in an ER right now?
Well, to be honest, we are expecting the rush to come in probably in the next 5 to 10 days. Right now, it feels very much like the calm before the storm.
And what kind of preparations do you make during the calm before the storm? What can you do?
Well, the data from China and Italy is obviously very disturbing. And the number one thing that Americans can do right now is shelter in place. We know that people are walking around and are probably COVID positive and don't even realize it because they either have no symptoms or have very mild symptoms. Right now in Oregon, we're very limited in terms of our testing capabilities. Everybody is trying to ramp that up. But right now, we're only able to test those people who are truly acutely ill and hospitalized.
Are you talking to colleagues in Washington State, which has been really hard hit? And what are you hearing there?
I'm hearing that they are definitely seeing the surge already. They are ramping up all of their services, ER services, ICU services, ventilators, and they are very concerned. They are not sure how bad it's going to get. It just started there in the last week or so in lower Washington. And I think they're struggling to keep up. And I think one of the big issues for us on the front lines is we don't have enough personal protection equipment across the nation. And Oregon sent out a notice saying we have 2 weeks supply, essentially, and they're asking for the feds to resource us better. And we've gotten only about 10% apparently of the ask from the federal government. And so you're asking frontline docs like myself, like other physicians, to be there for our patients, which is what we train to do. It's what we're excellent at. It's what we're prepared for. But just like you wouldn't ask a fireman to run into a building without protective gear, it's feeling very uneasy for us that we're being asked to take care of a highly infectious disease that we have a really good chance of getting doing procedures like intubation without having the right gear to protect ourselves and our colleagues.
What is it that you're short on? Masks, disposable gowns?
We're short on N95 masks. We're short on surgical masks. We're short on gowns. We're short on PAPRs, which is basically a self-contained device so that nothing that is aerosolized in the air, which commonly when someone is coughing, they're aerosolizing the infectious agent. We don't have enough PAPRs to go around. And I think the ask that the medical community has is really for industry to step up. We know that PAPRs exist in research labs. They exist in other settings where there's research and development going on, whether it's in the pharmaceutical industry and technology. We need those devices made available to frontline healthcare providers right now.
This has got to make you very anxious about your own health, being in a frontline medical position, knowing that the onslaught is invariably coming very soon.
It's definitely nerve-wracking. I will be honest. I initially was like, okay, I can handle this. I'm an ER doc. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And yesterday, you know, one of my colleagues was like, wow, you seem more stressed than usual. And it kind of occurred to me that, yeah, I am more stressed than usual. I'm a single parent. I have two very young children. I have underlying asthma. I can't put myself in a position where I orphan my children. And that's a really tough place to be between knowing your professional duty and knowing that you want to be there and stand side by side with your colleagues, because we are the experts in how to manage a crisis. And at the same time, weighing the implications of what if I do get sick? What are the implications for my family?
Mm. There seems to be a number of evolving guidelines for doctors. What's it like to practice medicine under those really unsure circumstances?
Well, I would say we're all obsessively checking our phones, and we're all obsessively talking to each other within private chat groups amongst the physicians, but it is confusing. We get different messaging depending on the day, the hour. Obviously, the federal government has failed miserably in preparing the country for this pandemic, and for months was saying this isn't a problem. And so there are people who, you know, driving home from the hospital yesterday were congregating, and granted, most of them were in groups of less than 10, but there's this atmosphere of, oh, we're off from school, we're off from work. And some people really aren't taking it seriously and aren't social distancing, and we're not going to be able to flatten the curve that way.
That must make you apoplectic.
Yeah, it does. I was pretty mad when I got home last night, and I had observed in my own neighborhood a group of approximately 10 people congregating and laughing and joking around. And part of me was like, am I overreacting? You know, it's a group of less than 10. They've been told that they can congregate. I think because we are so mindful of what's coming, it almost feels oblivious.
Doctor, all I can do is say I wish you the very, very best. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Dr. Arya Nashat in Portland, Oregon.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.